Praise God. Good morning, everybody. Everybody doing well? Amen. I want to tell you how grateful I am for our young leadership in church. Kurt does such a good job with all the different things that we do where we can give online and you can give with a text. And I'm so grateful. You know, if you don't have a church with young leaders in it, then you're just one generation away from not having a church. Amen. And so I'm grateful for all the young leaders. Kurt's not the only one. Megan's not the only one. But they do a great job. Many of you serve and help, and we're so grateful for you. This past week, we did Bernice Holting's funeral. And after the funeral, we had family and friends down at Power Kids, and we did dessert and coffee. And I had so many people who'd never been in that building before say, "What in the world is this?" You know, people are kind of taken back at first because the fellowship hall area, the kitchen area, is lime green. And, you know, I've had a lady one time say, "Oh, your church is kind of interesting." And then when I tell them, "No, that's not our church, that's our kids' ministry." And they're blown away. They're blown away. And I had a lady ask me, you know, "What do you do down here?" And I explained it to her. And I told her, you know, we have 120, 130 kids a week. And she said, "I didn't know there were that many children in Tulia." And I said, "Oh, no, there's a lot more in Tulia than that. But I just want you to know how people who are not a part of what we're doing, they're amazed. They're blown away by what's going on, that we reach 130 kids a week. We reach over 100 kids in Ground Zero. We minister to 250 kids and teenagers every single week." And I want to say it one more time slowly. We, right? All right, look at your neighbor and say, "We." Right, not we, but we. Amen? Amen. All right, we're doing it. Amen? And so I just want to brag on you and say thank you. And I'm grateful. All right, I'm going to pray. And the Bible says that if you'll agree with me, that God will move and hear our prayer. So let me pray, and I want you to agree with me. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus this morning. And Father God, I want to thank you for what you're doing in our lives. Father, we lift up ourselves, our families to you, and we thank you for your love and your grace over us. Father, we, as the body of Tulia Christian Fellowship, we want to lift up the other churches in this city. We want to lift up the other pastors in this city. Father, this surrounding area, Lord, from Happy over to Nazareth, over to Crest, back over to Silverton. Father, we pray for our brothers and sisters in other churches. We pray that their pastors are strengthened and refreshed and encouraged. We pray that the believers in those churches are encouraged and ministered to. Father, I pray that every church in our area grows and is full in the name of Jesus. That every church in this area has to go into a building program because they don't know what to do with all the people. That Father, on Sunday morning in our communities, the grocery stores would be empty. The Allsops would be empty. The businesses would be empty. The streets would be quiet because people are in church hungry for you, God. Father, we pray your grace over us, over our lives, over our families. Father, we're thankful for the rain, the snow, for moisture. We thank you for a wet spring on our land. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. At the beginning of the year, the first week of January, every year, Trinity Fellowship in Amarillo does an event called Zion. And they have church starting on Sunday night, and they go through Friday night. And my family and I, some of you were there, we attended. And it's a great, I always love going. It's a great way to start my year. If you will, spiritually, it's like holding your head underwater. I go to church every night for 6 nights and just hold my head underwater. And I'm always refreshed. I'm always encouraged. I'm always ministered to. And as I continue my series on the coming King, that first Sunday night we went, Chuck Pierce was there. And if you've been here before, you've heard me talk about that. He's a prophet and he has a prophetic ministry. And every year on that first Sunday night of Zion, he comes to Trinity Fellowship and he basically just shares what the Lord shows him for the coming year. And so what I want to do this morning and next week is take some of the points out of that prophetic word. Now, I have 4 pages of notes from that prophecy, and I'm by no means going to give you all of it, but I want to pull out what I feel like the Lord is showing me to show you, to encourage you. Now, let me tell you a couple of things about prophecy. All the word prophecy means is the future. Listen, we are a supernatural people, and we serve a supernatural God. Amen? And prophecy means all it is that we have a future. Listen, the Bible is a prophetic book. It's full of prophecy. The book of Revelation is full of prophecy. What does that mean? Well, it means that there's going to be some things happen in the future, and God wants to show us and make us aware of it. Listen, I have a future in this life, and I have a future in eternity because I know Jesus is my Savior. So that means that I have a prophetic future. You have a prophetic future. We are a prophetic people. Now, what I want you to understand is if this is new to you, if you think, I don't know about all this prophecy stuff, here's what I want you to know. There's nothing weird about it. There's nothing off the edge about it. It's just God moving. Listen, God is speaking. He's always spoke, and he's going to continue to speak. So I'm going to show you some things this morning that Chuck Pierce said. Now, here's the next thing I want you to know about prophecy. Anytime you hear somebody talk about the future, you want it to always line up with the Bible. Anytime somebody says, hey, I've heard something from God, you want to always be able to go to Scripture and make sure it lines up. What I'm going to show you this morning, I'm going to show you in the Bible where what they have said is not contrary to Scripture. Okay, anybody can say anything they want, but if it doesn't line up with the Bible, listen, the Bible should be a safety net in your life. Anytime you make a decision as a family, anytime you make a decision in your life, you ought to always be able to say, hey, is this what God is saying? Does this line up with God's word? So that's some place that you should be where you can say, hey, is this in God's word? Listen, when I preach, you should always ask yourself, is what pastor's saying is in the Bible, all right? It should line up with what God's word says. You shouldn't just leave here and believe it and, you know, and just take it in, if you will, like hook, line, and sinker. You want to make sure that what I'm saying is scriptural. Now, I've said it before, and I want to say it again. I have two jobs here, okay? My first job is to comfort the afflicted. If you're here and you're afflicted this morning, my prayer is the Holy Spirit will comfort you. But my other job is to afflict the comfortable. So if you're here this morning and you're all comfortable and fat and sassy, well, then I hope you're afflicted by the truth of the Word of God, okay? So that's my job, all right? So wherever you fit in that category, I believe God has something for you. So let me start and let me give you the very first one, okay? Here's the very first one. He said that we are established as a church. Now, let me start. He was at Trinity Fellowship, and when he said that, I believe that it was for Trinity Fellowship, but it's also for us, Tuya Christian Fellowship. We are an established church. Now, let me explain to you what I believe that means and what the Lord is trying to say to us. Tuya Christian Fellowship was started in 1987. We are a product of the charismatic movement of the 70s. I grew up in church, received Jesus as my Savior. Vicki and I got married. She found Christ as her Savior. We were hungry for God, looking for more. And so we went to a Holiday Inn in Amarillo, Texas, and went to a church meeting at a motel, and we received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and it transformed and changed our lives, and we have never been the same since. It happened to our generation, people older than us, people younger than us. Many of you were a part of that, and our lives were changed. Birthed out of that are churches like Trinity Fellowship, Tuya Christian Fellowship. See, 30 years ago, these kind of churches didn't exist. 30 years ago, these churches weren't in communities. All it was denominational churches. Now, age has nothing to do with being established. You could be in a church plant that's 2 years old, and I believe the establishing grace of God can be on it. Or you can be in a church that's 100 years old, and God's grace and establishment is on it. Here's what I want you to see. What we want to be sure that we're doing as a church is that we stay hungry for God. So the very first thing that Chuck Pierce said is that we're an established church. Now, what's a little, just briefly, all right? I was in the very first service of Tuya Christian Fellowship. I preached the very first service, and I've been the only pastor. I was the founding pastor, and I'm the only pastor this church has had so far. I believe there will come a time where there will be a different pastor than me, but I've been here from the very beginning. And God has moved, and he's moved from the beginning up until now. Now, I want to read a scripture to you. I want to read to you out of Hebrews 13, verse 9. We're talking about established. Listen to what it says. This is New King James. It says, do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines. Let me stop right there. There's lots of crazy things being preached on TV, on radio, in books, and there always has been and there always will be. What is the Bible saying? The Bible saying is to make sure that you're established in the Word of God. That was one of the points I gave last week, and I already said it before. If somebody teaches something, if somebody says something, you want to make sure it lines up with the Word of God so you don't get carried away with weird, goofy ideas. The next thing it says, for it's good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. Now, I want you to notice the last sentence. It says that you and I are not supposed to be worrying about food or drink or be occupied with those things. What does that mean? That means where our Christianity is outward instead of inward. Listen, it doesn't please God by what you eat or don't eat. It doesn't please God by what you drink or don't drink. What pleases God is that you've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ and you've accepted him as your Savior. Then you have right standing with God. Now, let me say something. I don't want to miss this. I want you to get this. All right? It says, number one, don't be carried away by weird doctrines. It says to stay grounded in the Word. Then here's the last thing it says. It says, don't be occupied with these things. Or I want to ask you a question this morning. What are you occupied with this morning? What occupies your thoughts? Is it work? Is it your checkbook? Is it your kids? What occupies your time? What occupies your thoughts? The scripture says that you and I are supposed to be occupied with the things of God. Now, I want to go back up to the middle of that verse, and I want to show you one powerful sentence. It says, it's good that your heart be established with grace. Now, I'm going to give you a definition for the word established just one moment, but here's what I want you to think. It means strength. It means strength. Now, listen to it. Let me give you the definition. Established means to be secure and strengthened. Then the word grace means with God's favor and spiritual blessing. Now, let me put it together. It says that you are supposed to be secure and strengthened with God's favor and spiritual blessing. Now, allow me to tie it together. Here's what I want you to see. Okay, Tuohy Christian Fellowship is an established, strong, healthy New Testament church. And when you come here, and whether you're single, whether you're divorced, whether you're in a blended family, whether you're married and have children or grandchildren, when you show up here and bring your family, and you're here more than you're not here. In other words, it's your habit to be in the house of God on Sunday. Doesn't mean you don't miss, but it's your habit to be here. Here's what's going to happen. God's word says that you'll be secured and strengthened with God's favor and blessing. Let me read it one more time. You'll be secured and strengthened with God's favor and blessing. What am I saying? Here's what I'm saying, church. When you show up in this place, I want to give you a guarantee. You like guarantees? Double your money back. Here's the guarantee. If you'll show up in this place and you'll bring your family, you'll invite your friends and your neighbors, and you consistently show up in the house of God, you are going to be strengthened and secured as a family, and you're going to see God's grace and God's blessing in your life. Whether it's your children, your job, your marriage, you will have strength in your life. And I believe with all of my heart, the only place that you can get it, it's not the only place. You can get it from the Bible and other places, but it's being in church. Now, here's the thing. He said that God is establishing us. Here's what I want you to see. All right? The hope of the world is the church. The hope of West Texas is the church. Listen, what we're doing here is a big deal. All right? Tuohy Christian Fellowship is a big deal. What we do here matters in this city. It matters in this county. It matters in your homes and in your businesses and your friends and neighbors. We are the hope of Tuohy, Texas. We are the hope of Swisher County. It's not the bank. It's not the feedlots. And all those things matter. Don't get me wrong. But the hope of the kingdom, the hope of eternity, the hope of us is the church. Amen? So here's what I want you to see. His first thing he said is we're established as a church. And that we're not to be carried away. We're supposed to be grounded in God. And here's what's going to happen. You're going to be secured and strengthened with God's favor and spiritual blessing. Now, you may not agree with me. And if you don't, that's fine. You're not going to get that anywhere else but in the local New Testament church. I'm sorry. I just don't believe it. It's not in the world. Certainly doesn't have it, right? The world has no answers, folks. You know that? I know a man on staff at the Pavilion in Amarillo, and he's a Christian. You know what he'll tell you? We have no answers. We don't know what to do. All right, but God knows what to do. And when you get in his presence, you get established, you get strengthened, you get encouraged, and you can live the life that God has desired for you to live. Let me show you the second thing he said. The second thing he said in 2015 is that we're not supposed to be in striving. There's not supposed to be any striving. What does that mean? Here's what it means. It means to struggle. Now, I know that there's some of you here this morning and you struggle with your relationship with God. All right, my mother, who's in heaven and she's with Jesus, she always struggled with her relationship with God. She always felt like she hadn't done enough. She always felt like she wasn't doing enough. She always felt like she wasn't witnessing enough. And she struggled in her relationship with God. Listen, the prophetic word, and it's bared out in Scripture. Jesus said, my burden is light, my yoke is easy. Is you're not supposed to strive this year. Listen, it means to struggle. Have you ever felt like at times you're struggling to get God's attention? You know, you're almost kind of on the roadside waving, trying to get him to stop and pay attention to you. Listen, you have God's attention. He loves you. You're his child. He sent his only son to die for you. God's eye is on you, and he's not taking it off. Now, see, when I was a kid growing up, I always thought God's eye was on me. Sure, it's on me, and it's on me catching me doing all the stuff I'm doing that I don't want anybody else to know. It wasn't a positive thing. It was a negative thing. Listen, that's not the case. Okay, the scripture says that God's eye is on you, and I want you to know you don't have to strive. You don't have to struggle trying to get God's attention, trying to get God to notice you, trying to get God to hear your prayers, because you can rest in the love of Jesus Christ. Listen to me. I want you to rest in the love of God this year. I want you to lean into his arms. I want you to lean into his grace. And I want you to know that he never takes his eye off you. I want you to know that he loves you and that he cares about you. Amen? All right, let me show you the third thing. The third thing is God is going to surprise you. This year, God is going to surprise you. Now, what that stirs in me is the word serendipity. And here's my definition for it. It's unpursued blessing. Unpursued blessing. Now, here's the mistake we make as Christians. We think the only time God moves in our life is when we pray. We think the only thing he's concerned about are the things we bring before him in prayer, and that God's kind of locked into that list, if you will. And don't get me wrong, I have a list. We did our card in January on what we want God to do. But listen, God is so much bigger than that, and he's moving in your life in areas that you don't even know about, and he wants to surprise you with blessings. Now, in February, I go back to see Dr. Shami in Lubbock. He's my retina specialist, and he's the doctor who saved my life with retina surgeries. I've counting cataract surgery, I've had 6 surgeries in my eye. Well, a year ago, I went for a checkup, and my surgeries were all done, and my eyesight was improving. And so I went and got a styrofoam ice chest, and then I went to Don Schulte, who was in the early service, and he's in the cattle business. And I said, Don, would you give me enough steaks so that I could take steaks to Dr. Shami and his staff? So I filled up this ice chest with steaks. I put dry ice in it so they'd be nice and frozen. And when I went in for my appointment, I'm carrying this ice chest full of steaks. I went through the door into the back, and I set it down by the little reception girl. And she said, what is that? And it's like, well, it's not a rattlesnake, okay, you know? She said, what is that? I said, it's steaks. I said, I have a man in my church who's in the cattle business, and I wanted to bring everybody here steaks. I said, now, these aren't steaks from the store. I said, these are steaks from a cattle ranch, and I wanted to bring them and bless you, and it's a very small thank you for saving my life. Well, they were blown away, and it felt so good to surprise them with that. I got more out of it than they did. Dr. Shami, who is like this super busy surgeon, I got a handwritten thank you card from him a few weeks later that said, thank you for the steaks. Now listen, I didn't do it for the card. I didn't do it for credit. It felt good to surprise them. Listen, your father is the very same way. In 2015, he is going to surprise you with unpursued grace, unpursued blessing. I want to read you in the New Testament. I want to read to you out of Luke chapter 12, verse 29. It's in red. Jesus is speaking. Listen to what he said. Do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. Don't you love that? Jesus is saying, don't be anxious this morning. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows you need these. Now, listen to me. The world is fatherless. The world is fatherless. You are not. They're orphans. They're on their own. You and I are not orphans, and we're not on our own. My Father takes care of me, and he takes care of you. Listen to it. The Father knows that you have need of these things. Verse 31, but seek the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. Verse 32, do not fear, little flock. Don't you love that? Another way to put it would be, don't fear, little children. Listen, we're the children of God. And this morning when I came over to unlock the church, the dawn is happening. It's early. It's not sunrise yet. And I'm unlocking the church. And here's what stirred in my heart. Lord, if you can handle that, and he handled it, right? The earth didn't crash into the sun this morning. He handled it. If you can handle that, you can handle this. You can handle my stuff, right? Okay, now, and I know you're smart just like me. The sun doesn't move. You know that. The sun doesn't rise. We know it. The earth goes around it. But if God can handle that, he can handle me. Are you with me? All right, let me continue to read. Listen to what it says. Do not fear, little flock. Here it is. For it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I love surprising Dr. Shami. I love surprising my wife. I love surprising my children. My brother lives in Oklahoma. Every once in a while, I'll send him something in the mail that I think he would enjoy. I love giving. Your Father's the very same way. And in 2015, he's going to surprise you with unpursued blessing. Now, what does that mean for you? Well, it means start looking for it. Start looking for it. Look up and start looking for it. God wants to bless you and take care of you. Amen? All right, let me show you the next one. It says, let your faith be seen. In 2015, he said God stirred in his heart that our faith would be seen. I'm going to read to you out of James 2:18. James 2:18. Listen to what it says. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works. I will show you my faith by my works. What is that saying, Pastor? Here's all I want you to see in this word is let your faith be seen. Remember the song, the children's song, Let Your Light Shine? All right, that's what I'm asking you to do this morning. The Spirit of God is speaking and saying, let your light shine. Don't hide it. Don't hide it. All right, we know the song. We know what the scripture says. Don't hide it under a bushel. Now, let me give you just a simple list of ways you can do it. The first is in church, okay? You let your light shine when you come to church. Your neighbors see you go to church. The people you work with know you go to church. If they don't know, you need to tell them, hey, I go to church, and I'd love for you to come with me sometime. How about in your job? All right, how about at home? Listen, dads, your kids ought to see you reading the Bible. They ought to see you pray. When you put them to bed at night, if they're young, you ought to pray with them. Is there faith in your home? Is Jesus live in your house? Or is this just something we do on Sunday? But the rest of the time, our life is secular. All right, see, it ought to be showing up in your house. All right, another place is in love. What do you mean in love? Well, the Holy Spirit spoke to me this week, and here's what he said to me. What if? What if you were to love without limits? Let me say it again. What if? What if you were to love without limits? Well, you know what it'd do? It'd change our church. It'd change this town. It'd change your job. Well, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, here's what we do. We measure and we disqualify. That's what we do. I measure you by your job, your haircut, your weight, your skin color, your glasses, your teeth. We measure each other. And then we don't measure each other to qualify each other. We measure each other to disqualify each other, right? Oh, you don't get in. You don't get to be a part. What if we loved without measure? It'd change everything, wouldn't it? Okay, what does that mean? Well, that's letting your faith be seen in your giving. Now, Kurt gets up here every week and asks you to give. And I'm thankful that you give. Listen, he gets up and asks you to give. I want to get up and say thank you. And he says thank you too. Listen, folks, thank you for your giving. We're able to do Power Kids, Ground Zero, Men's Ministry, Women's Ministries tonight. In February, guys, we're going to have a men's dinner, and we're having it catered, and we're going to have chicken fried steak, and I have a free gift for every single one of you. You'll be getting more information about it. We go to men's retreat. We do all that because of your generosity, letting your faith shine. Here's another one, in your prayer and then with other people. All I'm saying, what am I saying? Here's all I'm saying. Let people know you're a Christian. Hey, I'm a Christian. Jesus is my Savior. Could I pray for you? Can I help you? Can I encourage you? So the prophetic word was to let your faith be seen. Then here's the last one. The last one is to use your faith. Now, I want to make a distinction. The first thing I just said to you is let your faith be seen. The second one, excuse me, is to use your faith. All right, what's the difference? Joe McGee, who's a good friend of mine, he's been here many times to preach. He travels all over the world and preaches. Well, he was on staff at a church in Tulsa, Oklahoma that I was a part of and on staff part-time for a season, and it was a large church. It was a big church, before there really were a lot of big churches, before Trinity existed. And this church grew, and they built buildings, and they did all kinds of stuff, and their kids' ministry got big. Their kids' ministry got so big that they put a full-size merry-go-round in their kids' ministry. Okay, full-size merry-go-round in their kids' ministry. All right, he was telling me one time that he was at a staff meeting, and they were talking about what they were doing. And here's what he told me that I never forgot. He said, they don't use their faith anymore. He said, their chairs are full, their bank account's full, their parking lot's full, their kids' ministry's full. He said, they've gotten fat and sassy, and they don't trust God anymore. They trust themselves. Listen, I want to encourage you this morning to not let yourself get in that place. All right, we're not going to get in that place as a church. Listen, we're blessed as a church. We're very blessed. Our kids' ministry is full. Our youth ministry is full. Our services are full. Men's retreat's full. Women's ministry is full. But here's the danger. You know what we do? Well, we do just what they did in the Old and New Testament. We start thinking that we made it happen by our own power. If you know in the Old Testament, God told David, David, don't number your soldiers. Why? Because you'll think you did it instead of me. He told Gideon the very same thing. Gideon, you can't go to war with 30,000 soldiers because you'll think you did it and I'm the one that did it. Can I encourage you this morning, wherever you are in your life, all right, begin to trust God again. Begin to pray. Begin to use your faith. When was the last time you prayed for something impossible? When was the last time you needed God to move in your life and you knew if he didn't move, it was impossible? Can I encourage you to step back into that if it's been a while? Listen, when Vicki and I got married, we didn't have two dimes to rub together. We'd go to the Western National Bank in Amarillo, Texas and cash a $10 check. When we bought gas, we'd buy $10 worth of gas. When we would go to the grocery store, I'd go get something and bring it over to the basket and Vicki'd say, we can't get that, go put that back. So I'd go back and I'd put it back, right? Okay, listen to me. When we go to the grocery store now, I don't have to say, well, we can't get that. Now, I know some of you, you may be in that place. What I want you to see is we fought and we prayed and we cried and we worked ourselves up from nothing to where we are today. And we're blessed and our church is blessed. Here's the danger. The danger is, well, we're fat and sassy. We don't need God anymore. I don't have to pray anymore. I don't have to believe God anymore. Oh, but I do. And so do you. Listen, let me read you something. I don't want you to trust in yourself, your talent, your money, your hard work, your ability, or where you've came from. Thank God where you've came from. Thank God where I've come from. I'm glad I'm not there anymore. Amen? I thank God I have two flat screen TVs. Amen? One for HGTV and one for sports. Thank you, glory to God. But here's the danger. What do? Well, we quit using our faith. We don't pray and we don't trust God. And I want to encourage you to use your faith in 2015. What do you need God to do this year? And I know you wrote it on a card. Take that card and pray. Now, if you will, just let me back up and just remind you. Number one, you're sitting in an established church, and I can guarantee you, you show up in this place, you bring your family, you bring your kids to Power Kids, you bring your teenagers to Ground Zero, and your family will be strengthened and secured in the love and the grace of God. And I believe that the family you want to have, you'll begin to see in your life. The second thing is, don't strive. Stop struggling in your relationship with God. Start trusting him. Lean into his love. Listen, God loves you. All right, I put it up at Power Kids down there. Jesus loves you. And you drive by, probably many of you have seen it, and it can seem so simple and trite. Oh, yeah, yeah, whatever. Jesus loves me. No, he loves you. Amen? So you don't have to strive. The next thing is God is going to surprise you. Start looking for it. Start looking for it. You know, I love to read. And I read all the time. I'm always reading. And I get online and order books. I'm on Amazon.com. And I'm a one-button subscriber, which means I can hit one button and it'll send me a book. I don't have to put in a bunch of stuff. I've already put it in. Well, we'll always get packages on the door. And Vicki will come up. What's that? I don't know. Is that a book? No, I don't know what that is. And we'll go back and forth, right? And then I have to take credit and admit it, right, that it's mine. But, you know, isn't it fun when something comes on the door and you like getting stuff, right? Okay, all right. The next thing, let your faith be seen. Listen, folks, let those around you see your faith. Let your light shine. It's that simple. And the last one is to use your faith. If you hadn't been praying in a while, pray. If you hadn't trusted God in a while, trust him. Whatever you need him to do. If there's been something in your life, listen, I'm encouraged. We've been praying for Vicky's dad for 30 years to find Christ. He has not yet. He will be 85 this year. 85. Listen, I'm renewed and encouraged that that man is going to get saved. He is going to get saved. He's going to go to heaven. And I'm going to stand next to Jesus and go, oh, yeah! How about that? Amen? Amen. So I'm encouraged in that. You be encouraged in what you need to be encouraged in. Stand up and let's pray. Father God, I love you this morning. I'm thankful for your life and love. Lord, it's so easy to say that, but I mean it. I'm thankful for your life and for your love. I'm thankful for the promises you've given us in Scripture and the prophetic promises that line up with Scripture that we can have in 2015. I'm grateful for it this morning. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Now,